There's a volume called Siach HaPesach, which is Chidushim. So some of the, you know, what you're saying, like the English, Rav Chaim Kanievsky Agada. So some of the things in there are from here and overlap with here, not everything. But I was able to, look through it last night online and pulled out a couple of insights that I thought were meaningful, that were interesting, that were relevant to us and relevant to the life of Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal. So I thought that would be a good way for us to prepare a little for Pesach. Okay, a little Pesach Torah. Okay, so let's take a look. Number one, six insights from Rav Chaim Kanievsky on Pesach. He writes, Isa b'masa Rav al hagraza. There's a sefer called Masa Rav. Masa Rav means the practices of the Rav. Who is the Rav? The Rav is the Vilna Gaon, the Gra. So the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon collected practices of the Vilna Gaon. It's called Masa Rav, Maisa Rav. So in the Maisa Rav of the Vilna Gaon, there's a very interesting thing that's recorded. And it's actually, if you know this, it's actually a big limud zchus. Because, you know, for a while, I was the type of Jew who felt like it was a very lowly thing to want to eat chametz right after Pesach. You know, like the people are like, I need to have pizza the second Pesach's over. Like, don't be such a baby. Like, you'll be fine. You'll survive for another couple minutes without pizza. But the truth is, the Vilna Gaon, interestingly enough, as recorded in the Masa Rav, Hayamakbid teikach b'motzei Pesach lechol chametz, Kadeshia Nikar Shinimna Ad Akshav Bigalal Hamitzvah. The Vilna Gaon immediately, he was makbid, that takeoff, immediately after Pesach, Amotei Pesach, even for Havdalah, they say he would make Havdalah on beer, on a Chametz stick of beverage. Right? How he would get that exactly, get it from the neighbor, a non-Jewish neighbor, how you figure out how you get Chametz right away. But be it as it may, the Vilna Gaon was makbid to eat Chametz immediately after Pesach, to make it nikar, to make it identifiable, that the only reason he didn't eat chametz this last week is because of the mitzvah. Right? Meaning, if I dafka don't eat chametz when Hashem commands me not to eat chametz, so then I'm showing that I'm doing it for Hashem. And as soon as Hashem no longer commands me, I want to show that I only refrained from chametz as an expression of my commitment to Hashem. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky explained that perhaps we find an allusion to this in the context of the year in which we find ourselves. What do I mean by that? A Shemitah year. V'nira samach lezeh d'chsiv gavei Shemitah. It says in the context of Shemitah, beginning of Parshas Bahar, Sheish shanim tizra sadecha, v'sheish shanim tizmor karmecha. V'asafta estivu asa is the end of the pasuk. What does it say? For 6 years, you should what? You should plant your field. You should prune your vineyard. Why do you have to tell me what to do during the 6 years? What you want to tell me is what? That in the seventh year, it's Shemitah and you shall let the land rest. Why does it have to introduce it by saying, for 6 years you shall plow and you shall plant and you shall do it? So perhaps, says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, HaTorah kosva b'lashon, the Torah wrote it in a language, Shemashmo sheyesh mitzvah lasos kein. For 6 years you should plant. Is that a mitzvah? I thought the mitzvah was on the seventh year you should rest. But perhaps part of the idea is Ve'esh Lomar, Sheyesh Inyan Sheyizra Ve'yizmor, by planting and by pruning and by being busy in the field during the 6 years, I mean, if I never work in the field, so then what's the Chiddush of Shemitah? But if I usually work for 6 years, I'm busy, busy, busy in my field, and then in the seventh year, I dafka what? I dafka stop? Then it's Nikar Sheshoves B'Shvias. Then it's identifiable that, you know what? I'm a Shemitah keeper. I'm doing this because it's the Rosh Hashanah Hashem, because Hashem commands me to do so. Uke'ein da'amrina b'Shabbos kuf yutes amar aleph, like the Gemara tells in Masechta Shabbos kuf yutes, the practice of Rav Anan. Rav Anan was lavish gunda. Rav Anan would put on a simple black garment. And the Mesilas Yesharim explains in Perek Yutes that he would wear very plain garments before Shabbos, so that way when he would change into his Shabbos clothing, it would be that much more recognizable. To show that contrast. Right? On Shabbos, he wanted to give the impression, look how different I dress on Shabbos as opposed to the way that I dress regularly. This is the deeper intention of what the Vilna Gaon's practice was about. Why the Vilna Gaon? So again, if you're of the type that likes to have chametz right away after Pesach, at least have this kavanah. Have this holy kavanah. that I'm eating chametz right away after Pesach to show that the only reason I didn't eat chametz this past week, every second that I refrained from eating chametz, is because of my absolute belief in the truthfulness of the Torah and the Ratzon Hashem. And now I'm returning to chametz, right, to highlight that. You could also point to Pesukim in the Torah where it says, 6 days of the week you shall work, and on Shabbos you shall rest. Right? The harder you work during the week, right, the more you can have the opportunity to show that on Shabbos I dafka rest because Hashem says so. So by creating that contrast, it actually highlights my commitment to Torah and mitzvahs. Yeah?
What was the comment about Big Day Shabbos?
So Rabbanan would wear a gunda. A gunda was like a simple black garment. So the Mesilas Yesharim explains that he created a contrast in his garments. He would specifically create some type of contrast between the Big Day Chol and the Big Day Shabbos. Right? It's a challenge. I wear a suit and a tie all the time. So I have to have, you know, a nicer suit for Shabbos. I have to have something that makes Shabbos special, right? So that contrast again highlights the fact that I don't always just wear nice clothing because I like nice clothing, right? I wear something special for Shabbos because it's Shabbos, and I don't eat chametz on Pesach because it's Pesach, right? And I plow 6 years and plant for 6 years and prune for 6 years, and then on Shemitah I dafka stop because Hashem said so. Yeah. You're saying to extend Shabbos.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we want again, there's a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos, right? Meaning, we have the ability to extend Shabbos. On a certain level, we have the ability to extend Pesach, I guess, if you extend Pesach a little bit long at the end of Pesach, you could kind of do the same thing. Right? Kedusha, the Kedusha of Shabbos is able to be extended. That's the whole question. How does Tosefes Shabbos work? Am I extending the Kedusha? Or am I just extending my commitment to not do Malacha? Right? But on a certain level, when Shabbos is over, I guess I should go back to the world of Malacha. Right? To highlight the fact that I specifically... Right? It's not that I don't have anything to do. I have a lot to do. But I dafka stop on Shabbos because of Hashem. Eliyahu, let's hear.
So are we saying that these 6 days only become a mitzvah after I eat in order to have?
Right. It's almost like the Torah is. That's the point. Well, like, why is the Torah in a language of tzivoy, in a language of command? Why is it commanding us 6 years? You shall plan. It sounds like you should. Why should I? Because that creates the contrast that makes Shemitah more meaningful. So if I never eat chametz, right, then switching, you know, then going, chametz free on Pesach is not that significant. But if I'm a person who eats chametz right before Pesach, right after Pesach, so I'm showing that the only reason I'm not eating it for this week is because I'm fulfilling the command of my Creator. For sure. Right, exactly. I could only prove that it's a fulfillment of Hashem if I complete the cycle, so to speak. Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's take a look. Yeah, Yoni.
How did Tosefet Shabbos fit into this?
So again, there's a person has the mitzvah and the opportunity to expand the Kedusha of Shabbos. So again, I want Shabbos to stay as long as I can, as long as, you know, I can handle keeping Shabbos. But you're right, on a certain level, I guess, right after Shabbos, maybe that's part of what Havdalah is. Right? You know, I bring Shabbos out by lighting a fire. Right? What does the Torah say about lighting fires? The Torah doesn't go through all the 39 malachas. The Torah says, Lo savaru eish b'chol moshoseichem b'yom haShabbos. The example of keeping Shabbos in the Torah is don't light a fire. So at the end of Shabbos, I show that Shabbos is over, and I only didn't light a fire these last 25 hours because God said so.
Is that the reason we light it?
I'm suggesting it as a possible reason, an additional reason as to why. Could be someone says that, I'm not sure. Okay, but again, we want to, you know, when it's over, we want to make that transition to highlight the fact that I only was doing this not because I'm choosing to be gluten-free, but because I'm fulfilling Hashem's command. Okay? Let's see another one. Number two. Kol amarbe lesaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim hareza meshubach. Okay, the Haggadah tells us, anyone who tells the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim hareza meshubach. So there's an interesting comment that's found in the Sefer Magid Dvar v'Yaakov. He writes, Kasav Echad HaMefarshim, Magid Dvar v'Yaakov Ha'od, Shebekavana Kasvu Lashon L'Saper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim. Which part of adding to the story counts as Kol HaMar B'Lesaper HaRezim B'Shubach? The more you tell the story, the better. Well, which part of the story? Which part should I spend the most time emphasizing? Again, the Seder goes from a transition, right? Maschil Begnus, we start off with our slavery, we start off with our Avodah Zarah, we tell, you know, kind of the entire story of Jewish history, and we end, right? Maschil Begnus, we start off negative, Messiah B'Shabach, and we end with the praises of the Jewish people. So some of the Mefarshim point out that the Lashon of the Haggadah is Kol Amar B'Lesaper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim. Where should the Riboy be? Where should I spend a lot of time talking? I should talk a lot about the what? About the Yitzias Mitzrayim. I have to talk about a little bit the suffering, but I shouldn't spend so much time talking about the suffering. V'lo l'saper al ha-shibur v'hatsar shahaya sham li'yisrael. Again, I want to create the contrast on the night, so I start with the negative and I transition to the positive, but perhaps, some Farshim explain, that the bulk of what I'm sharing, the part that's mishubach, the more the merrier, is a reference to what? To being misafer b'yitziyah fitzar, talking about the leaving, talking about the salvation. Ki arichas hasipur b'shibur yachol ligram litzar. Because if I talk too much about the pain of the Jewish people and the suffering in Mitzrayim, so that's going to, if I'm really feeling it, if I'm really connecting in a deep way, I might become very saddened on the Seder night. That's not the goal. The goal is not to be depressed at the Seder. When we think about how much Klal Yisrael suffered in Mitzrayim, I have to go there a little bit, but not too much. However, Rav Chaim Kanievsky disagreed. Ach Rabbeinu Svir Aleh. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Rabbeinu, this is, I think the Siach HaPesach compilation was put together by a grandson. Ach Rabbeinu Svir Aleh de Mikol Makom. Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, I disagree. I don't think that it has to only be Marba Lesaper be at Siach Mitzrayim. But Gam Im Neima de Ikatsar. Even if you talk a lot about the painful parts of the Mitzrayim experience, everything that you share, any bit that you talk about at length, there's a mitzvah l'saper. V'gam hatzar v'godel hashibud nichlal b'chol amar b'lesaper. And included within this line of the Haggadah called amar b'lesaper harezem meshubach, it includes all parts of the story. Whether you talk about the positive parts of the story, whether you talk about the suffering. So why should that be? That's Rav Chaim Kanievsky's opinion. He thinks that any part of the story that you tell, if you read the saddest midrashim that you could find about the suffering of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, that also counts as being Marba Lesaper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right? Why? So again, I think it's related to what we learned in the first piece, right? That's part of creating that contrast. Meaning if I realize how bad it was in Mitzrayim, I'm able to then much greater appreciate how fortunate we are that we got out of Mitzrayim. We say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, had we remained there, had Hashem not saved us, we'd still be slaves, right? Kulanu, we'd still be Meshubadim L'Parah Mitzrayim, we'd still be slaves to Parah Mitzrayim. So when I realize, when I try to not just skip over or briefly remind myself that things were bad, but when I really feel the pain of the Jews in Mitzrayim, that also enhances the night. Because then when we free ourselves from Mitzrayim, when we experience, you know, Chayav Adam Liras Hazatzvah, when we feel ourselves leaving Mitzrayim, so then we're able to enjoy it that much more. But it's an interesting comment. Again, Hamar B'Lesaper, is it Dafka L'Saper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim? Or is it anything that we share about our experience in Egypt is praiseworthy? Okay? Interesting thought. Okay, number three. Yeah, Josh.
I don't know if this is a stretch, but I'll set it.
Go for it.
Something we can maybe take from it, like you always maybe need negative to get the positive.
Yeah, it's a Zohar. The Zohar says there's no light. Leis nahora, there is no light. Elahu dinafik migav chashoicha. There is no light except that which is nafik, that comes out from chashoicha, that comes out from darkness. The contrast of dark and light. There always has to be suffering that precedes redemption. Right? Yisro na'ur min achoshech, the Pasuk says. Like the distinction between dark and light. So we like to create that contrast, right? We learned about it in the context of that piece from Rav Huttner on Purim, about the two goats. They look so similar, but then they become so different. Okay, yeah.
Just another small comment. One of the Disney movies I really like is Inside Out. So I think one of the parts of it was like sadness, like the only way you can come to happiness is through like
right.
crying.
Really, right, that's right. That's right. So we're not, so exactly, and I think that's a beautiful insight. Right? We're not looking to just get to the good times. Right? And it's not like, well, we have this small obligation to be maschil b'gnus. We'll say a little bit about the pain of Mitzrayim, and then we'll talk about how good things got after. If you really want to appreciate how good it is, you have to really appreciate first how bad it was. And therefore, included in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is talking a lot, not just a little bit, but talking a lot about the tzar and the Godel Hashibud, and that creates the appreciation of the salvation. Okay? All right, good. Let's go on to the third insight. Baruch Shenasan Torah La'amo Yisrael. Again, everyone's talking about the greatness of Rav Chaim Kanievsky's absolute mastery of Torah, which was certainly the hallmark of, you know, what he was known for, his absolute Torah knowledge. So, Chaim, it's important when it comes to learning Torah in general, we have to ask ourselves, what's the point of learning Torah? And there's really two aspects to learning Torah. I learn Torah to know what to do. Right? I need to know. I learn Maseches Makos in case, God forbid, someone ever actually accidentally kills someone. I need to know if I need to go to an Ir Miklah. Okay, maybe we'll actually touch a little bit today on Halacha Lamaisa. Could there be Ir Miklah Bizman Azeh? But I need to know Halacha. So I need to read the Torah. I need to know that there's something called Shabbos, something called Pesach, something called Sukkah, something called Tefillin. I need to learn how to function as a Jew. And then, of course, there's another aspect of Limud Torah, which is what? Which is connecting to Hashem, which is studying Torah for Torah's sake. Right? The difference between a man and a woman, as the Beis Halevi points out in his Hakdama, if I'm not mistaken, to his Drashos, is that a woman has a mitzvah, you know, the Shulchan Aruch says that a woman can make a bracha of Birchas HaTorah. But the bracha of a birchas haTorah of a woman is a little bit different than the birchas haTorah of a man, in the sense that what? That when a woman learns Torah, her limud Torah is simply for the goal of knowing how to function. A woman also has mitzvos, also has halachos. Right? But when the Gemara in Kedushin says that a woman doesn't have a formal obligation to study Torah, that means studying Torah for Torah's sake. That, we say in Shema, you should teach it to your sons, not to your daughters. So women shouldn't have an education. They shouldn't know how to function. Of course they should. They need to know how to. They need to know. They also need to learn for the sake of knowing how to live as a Jew. Right? But for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his infinite wisdom said that it's a man's responsibility to learn Torah even when it's not to gain a new insight in how to live per se. It's studying Torah for Torah's sake. So we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, we thank Hashem, we say, Baruch Shenasan Torah La'am El Yisrael. Thank you, Hashem. Praiseworthy is HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving the Torah to the Jewish people. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes in the bottom paragraph on page 1. Yesh ladun. We need to contemplate, to investigate. To think. Ha'im ikr limud ha-Torah hu kedei ledas lilmo tov ulavin heitev es ha-Torah o shalom dim rak bishvil ledas l'kayim. Why do we learn Torah? This is not a new question. He says, look in the Gemara in Kedushin and Daf Mem, on the base. But is the purpose of learning to know how to learn? In other words, do we learn for the sake of learning? Or do we learn ledas lekayim, in order to know how to fulfill, how to do, how to live? That's the shah. So Chaim Kanievsky, of course, was a person whose whole life was what? Was learning Torah. I think he probably, by the time he left this world, very recently, he probably already knew how to do. Right? A lot of his learning was not simply to know how to function as a Jew. It was learning to be able to connect to Hashem. It was learning Torah Lishma. It was Talmud Torah for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So he brings a raya, an interesting proof to this idea, from a Gemara in Brachos. Okay, and again, I picked this piece just because it's so autobiographical to who Rav Chaim was. Right? Limud Torah for the sake of Limud Torah. V'yesh lehevi raya mi Brachos. We can bring a raya from the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. And it's interesting. This Gemara, you read this Gemara, you're like, yeah, what does that Gemara mean? The Amru Sham, the Gemara says, Hachika Amar, Rachmana. Here's what the Merciful One says. Here's what the Torah says. Here's what Hashem wants. The Gemara says, Igmaru Banaichu Torah, Ki Heichi Diligarsu Behu. Teach your children. Igmaru banaychu Torah. Teach your children Torah. Ki heichi, so that ligarsu baho, that they should be able to be fluent in it, that they should be able to study it. Learn Torah so you'll be able to learn Torah. What do you mean learn Torah so you should be able to learn Torah? That's why we learn Torah. V'lo amru b'gemara kadei sheyedu l'kayim. The Gemara doesn't say teach your kids Torah so they'll know how to be Jews, so they'll know how to do mitzvahs. The lashon of the Gemara is teach your children Torah so that your children will know how to learn Torah. So it sounds, el mikan sha'ikr zeh, right? That in a certain sense, we have to remind ourselves that the goal of learning Torah, sometimes we become overly, you know, pragmatic in our Torah study. Right? We ask ourselves, like, so what does this do for me? Right? How do I apply this to my life? And that's an important question to ask, because a big part of learning is lomod amanas lasos. Rav Chaim Kanievsky reminds us, and part of what the Baruch Shenosan Torah la'amu v'Yisrael, that we're saying in the Haggadah, thank you Hashem for giving me the Torah. Why am I thankful for the Torah? So it gives me the instructions of how to live my life. True. Well, let's say now I know the halacha. I know how to live my life. I know what the halacha says in this situation. So what am I baruch shenasan Torah la'amu Yisrael about at that moment? And the answer is because the mitzvah and the opportunity to learn Torah is something that we have to gain an appreciation of, to study it for its own sake. Teach your children Torah so that your children will know how to learn Torah. To be able to learn, to be proficient in learning. It should be something that every one of us, you know, you don't have to be a rabbi or a Talmud, like a, you know, a guy who's learning in Kolov the rest of his life, to strive to be a Talmud Chacham, to be a person who's comfortable opening up a Torah text. Learn to be able to learn. Learn so that you have the fluency to know how to know how to learn. Okay. All right, let's talk about a little Maseches Makos, as hinted to in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Very interesting. How does the Torah define the mitzvah of telling the story to your children on the Seder night? He uses an interesting lashon. We always talk about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But of course, the step in the simanim of the Seder that tells the story is called Magid. Right? Magid, to tell the story. And the way the Torah presents the obligation of a parent to tell the story to their child, of a father to tell the story to his son, V'higadita levincha bayomahu leimor, V'higadita levincha, V'higadita. Higadita. It doesn't say lesaper. It doesn't say va'amarta levincha. It uses a lashon of v'higadita. So I want to share with you two beautiful insights from Rav Chaim Kanievsky on what is this lashon of v'higadita. What does that tell us about the nature of how you tell the story? And both of his insights actually come from Maseches Makos, which is very nice for us, since we're learning Makos. Okay, here's what he says. Yesh ledakti. Lama nakad b'pasuk lashon hagada dafka. Why use a lashon of Haggadah? Haggadah is a certain type of telling, but we need to understand what type of telling that is. V'lo kasa va'amarta levincha v'yomahu leimor. It doesn't say va'amarta levincha. You should say it to your kid. You should say it to your child. It says v'higadata levincha. Yesh levar al piya gemara makos daf yud aleph omer aleph, where the Gemara distinguishes between amira and Haggadah. There's different terms for speaking. And sometimes they reflect a different strength in which one relays a message. So the Gemara says, Haggadah hu lashon oz. There's a certain strength, a certain azus, a certain brazenness, a certain confidence that Haggadah implies. V'hainu lomar b'chayzak, to say it strong. V'gadah to levincha, don't just say it. You don't just recite the Haggadah. Right? Happens to be, I saw in the a couple of years ago, in the English Rav Chaim Kanievsky Haggadah, I remember it says that his feeling was that Magid should take no more than a half hour, and you'll tell all the other Divrei Torah, you know, I'm sure he had a lot to say, but he saved it for other parts of, you know, the meal and over the course of the Yom Tov. Right? Some people, you know, Magid, you give a drush on every line. Right? But it's not just about, you know, how long it takes you to say it. It's about the energy, the strength, the confidence, and the clarity with which you relay the experience. So Haggadah, as implied by the Gemara in Makos, is a lashon of strength, confidence. V'zeh ha-Torah tzivsa she-tomer levincha b'choizek uva'azos. To be able to say with confidence. Right? To really ask yourself, do I believe the story that I'm telling? Right, sometimes you tell a story. Yeah, I read a story. I heard a story. I don't know if I believe it's true. It's not true. It's a nice lesson. Do I really believe this is a true story? Am I prepared to impart that with confidence and strength to the next generation? To empower the next generation to be proud Jews? So, v'higadet levincha, b'yom ahu lemur, say it clear, b'avor zeh osa Hashem li. And as you point to the mitzvos on the table, as you talk about the matzah and the maror, and you talk about the four cups of wine, and you say, b'avor zeh, for all of this, because of all of this, on account of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, to be good Jews, to sit at the Seder, to sing Hallel, to be mekayim mitzvos, u'mash tzarech lezeh choizik v'azus, and that which it requires a certain strength and a confidence in giving over the story, what that means is, k'dei lomar kol ha'pratim b'diyuk, mashahaya, to tell it precisely, to tell it with all of its details, to paint a real good picture, v'lo lomar eizeh shehu prat b'kitzer, and not to rush through the steps. Again, you don't necessarily have to give, you know, tangential divrei Torah, but try to paint a real picture of what it was, to be able to say, Jewish people, we were slaves in Mitzrayim. That was a real thing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from there. And Hashem gave us these mitzvos. And Bavur Zeh, because of all of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. So Haggadah, again, is a statement about the language and the feeling that we inject into the telling of the story. It's not just an amira. If you're just going to recite it, if you're just going to, you know, mumble through the words, that's not really a v'higadah. Okay, that's insight number one. But then he adds a second insight based on something that he heard when he was a young person. Sachra Beinu, Rav Chaim Kanievsky related, Shemati me Adoni Avi Mori V'Rabi Zatzal. I heard from my father, Stipler Gon, heard from my father. Shebitziruso bedarcho bepolin, Amrulo al bayis ploni shedar sham iloy v'lamdan b'fuk. He said, when my father was a young person in Poland, he once passed a particular home, and they told him that the fellow who lives there is a tremendous Talmud Chacham. All right. So Abba Zal Nichnas Elav. So my father went in to get a Dvar Torah from him. V'hala Omer Lo Davar Chiddush. And this great Lamdan told him the following insight. Okay? Here's what he told him. The Gemara and Makros and Daf Gimel Amid Aleph, for those who remember, taught us a very interesting principle. Kevan Shehigid Shuv Eino Chozer Umagid. We're talking about Magid, talking about Haggadah. We had a rule on Daf Gimel. Kevan Shehigid, once you testify, right? Haggadah is a term that we use in the context of Eidus, Haggadah's Eidus. So Kevan Shehigid, once you've testified, Shuv Eino Chozer Magid, you're not allowed to what? Retract your testimony. You're not allowed to testify again. V'kasha, Ma Bekach Shehigid, Lama Lo Yachzer V'Yagid. What is this rule? What is the meaning of this rule? That once you've said your piece in court, you're not allowed to undo it? What does that mean? V'gam minayin the Gemara chiddush zeh. How did the Gemara know this idea? Where did the Gemara get this chiddush from? So this Lamdin, this Talmud Chacham in Poland, who the Stipler met when he was a young man, said the following. El ha-birhu shehagadah zeh ulomar davar chadash. It must be that Haggadah, kevan shehigid, once you brought some new testimony to the courthouse, you're not able to what? Eino chozer umagid. You can't say something else new. You only get one chance to say something new. You only get one chance to speak the first time. The nature of the word Haggadah is to say something new. What does that mean? Shagadah zeh lomar davar chadash. Sha'adayin lo yodim. That's what Haggadah's Eidos is. You're testifying. You're revealing something new before the judges, before the court. V'zeh ha'perish la'hagid. V'yemalak far higid. So if you've already said something new, mas shayach shuv lachzor ulahagid. So how could you say something new again? Hari amar kvar pam achas. How could I undo my first statement? The definition of Haggadah is my first statement. Okay? So now, based on that, what do we learn about the Haggadah? Right? V'adoni avi mori rabbi zatzal, my father, hevia koras ruach mi'chiddush zeh. My father liked this chiddush a lot. And however, what Rav Chaim Kanievsky is telling us is according to this chiddush, which he's going to say is not necessarily correct in a second, but if this chiddush is correct, if it is true, so that means there has to be a certain newness that we bring into the Haggadah. What does that mean? Let's think about this for a second, because he doesn't tell us what that means. It's a very old story. What does it mean that it should be v'higadata levincha? If the definition of v'higadata is something new, so what does that mean? How do I you know, update the story in a way that's authentic to the story, yeah?
So, I think there are two very interesting things.
Yeah,
I think it's that if you are saying that it needs to be a fiddish, then A, you're at the Seder, and it needs to be like you're saying it now, and it's not past, it's not history. It's like you're going through Yitzias Mitzrayim right now.
Okay, so you're saying part of the Chai of Adam Lios is Atzmo, Ki'ilu Hu Yatzim Mitzrayim. Right, is to tell the story not like we've never had a Seder before, right? We just left Mitzrayim. This is the first time we're ever recounting the story. It has to, and maybe that fits well with what we said before, right? That Higadah has a certain energy to it.
Yeah, I also think that if we're using the source of Rakos of
Gimel Meralev,
then if we're using that once you touch it, so it has to be with certainty and with like stubbornness, and like you have to be putting your foot down when you're saying it, and it has to have a full force, meaning you can't like
a testimony
halfway. Like it's, you need to be like all in on the testimony, which means that you can't say anything again. So
right,
when you're telling it over to your children, you want to do it in a way where it's like you're giving it to them how it is, and like they're not going to be
right. Shuv eno chozer magid. I don't need to say it again.
Yeah, there's no like.
So uncertain
questions, because the whole Seder is asking,
right.
But there needs to be like, this is what happened. Now you can ask on the content of it, but not like why it happened or like other details.
Right, I don't need to, I don't need to touch up my testimony. It's clear, it's strong, it's fresh, it's new. Right, yeah.
I just have to share something on
the Yeah, go for
point.
It.
At Perman Street,
yeah.
Where the spot busted at the party.
Perman Vienna, yeah, Perman, that's, yeah.
And I asked him for a port, we were like coming out of time. And he said that we know the halacha that if you read the Megillah Lamafreya, you're not Yosef. And he said the halacha is right, if you read Lamafreya, you're not Yosef. But think of a source. He said the Hasidic reading of that is that if you read the Haggadah as Lamafreya, as something that happened
right,
in the past,
exactly.
You're not Yosef. You have to read it.
Right.
It's happening nowadays.
Right. It's from the Maggid of Message. Right. If you read the Megillah Lamafreya. If you read the Megillah as just I'm reviewing an old story, so then, right, but the Haggadah, so maybe that's what I like about this book. Rabbi Yonah, that's exactly. We may have mentioned it.
Yeah,
I like that part a lot. And I think that's what this part is, right? Meaning the Haggadah should be new, it should be fresh, it should be an original story. It shouldn't just be Chazara, you know? It shouldn't just be retelling old things. Right? It should be new, it should be fresh, it should be energetic, yeah.
Two things. One, a quick observation that the similarities are then also when you compare the night of the Seder to now, like giving Eidos, then the whole fact that like you're constantly asking a bunch of questions over the whole Seder.
Right, it's like Drisha V'Chakira.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that's a
very, that is interesting.
That's a nice addition. And then also similar to what Jack's first point. That it needs to have like a newness, and that like I think the line is like hold over door enough to certainly like we have
right.
to see that there's another well. Right, we have to experience it ourselves, but you also like inferred that it's not like the full thing because we also need to we have Pesach Hadorot and then we also have Pesach.
Right.
And Mitzrayim.
Right.
So we need to be able to like put those together. We only focus on Pesach. We don't have like the makor for where we're bringing it.
Okay, so good. So let's add this last piece because that fits beautifully with what he's about to say. Because when he told this insight to the Chazon Ish said to him, "Shadvarim einam nechonim." Not right. Not correct. And he brought many proofs of this. One example, he said, my father didn't share with me all the proofs, but one of them, four lines from the bottom, is what we say in the pasuk by Bikurim. When a person brings Bikurim, first fruits to Beis Hamikdash, what do you say? He gadati hayom la Hashem Elokecha. Right? I'm here to he gadati hayom. And what are you about to do? You're about to review Jewish history. Right? The declaration you make when you bring your first fruits is what? And we put it into the Haggadah also. Arami ovi ravi, vayyad mitzrayma. Right? An Aramean took advantage of our forefathers, and we went to Egypt, and we suffered. So he gadati hayom la Hashem elokecha. When you're he gadati to Hashem, you're not telling Hashem something new that he doesn't know. And in fact, the content of what you're sharing is old. So in the context of Bikurim Vigadati, right? V'sham mas shayach lafarish lashon chiddush. What's the chiddush? I'm higadati to Hashem. I'm telling Hashem something new that he doesn't know. V'chigilo laKadosh Baruch Hu davar shelo hayadu lo kodem. Am I telling God something he never heard before? So it must be that Haggadah in that context means what? Relaying something old, something that's already known. And I think that's exactly what David's saying, and it's exactly what I love so much about this piece. Is that the experience that the Seder has to be this bridge of old and new. It has to be, on the one hand, we're going back, we're talking about our deep, deep, deep roots in Mitzrayim, what our ancestors went through in Mitzrayim, and at the same time, the word V'higadata implies a certain what? A certain sense of chiddush. A certain new revelation. Haggadah's Eidos. Again, how do I make it new for myself, for my children, for my family members? So I have to bring it into my world. B'chol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chal oseinu. There's been new acts of anti-Semitism, terror, struggle, gullus over the last year, since the last Seder. So in every generation, they rise up against us. This is the telling over of, or as the Kaf HaChaim writes, you're supposed to tell over your own personal miracles that took place over the course of the last year. Right? So on the one hand, we're retelling a very old story. At the same time, this is also the night where I can say thank you to Hashem publicly in the presence of family and maybe friends to say, Hashem, I'm thankful not only for Yetzias Mitzrayim, but I realize that's the root of all the things that, all the troubles I ever got out of. So I had a difficulty this past year, and you freed me from that difficulty. So this is a night to celebrate that. Right? The same way that Tisha B'Av is not just about Korban Beis HaMikdash. Why in the kinos of Tisha B'Av? Why in the kinos of Tisha B'Av do we talk about different Jewish communities destroyed at different points throughout history? Why is it that the Brisker Rav felt that the real Yom HaShoah is Tisha B'Av? Because that's the day in the calendar that marks our collective and individual suffering. So this is the night that celebrates all of our Gula. Right? It's the all-encompassing night of Gula. So it's old and new combined. Right? So I don't know that we have to pick and say that, you know, this Vart that he heard, that the Stipler heard from some Yid in Poland is wrong and the Chazanish is right, or vice versa. I think, you know, for us, we could try to channel kind of the combination of the old and the new at the Seder. Yeah, Johnny, you want to say something?
Why is this like Kiddush? Like, isn't every single holiday that we celebrate supposed to be us kind of trying to
remember? There is, that's true. Right? Part of every Yom Tov is a re-experiencing of that Yom Tov, right? That's the Kedushas Levi's famous insight on Bayamim Ahem Bazman Hazeh. Bayamim Ahem Bazman Hazeh is not just saying this event happened at this time in the calendar year, but what happened Bayamim Ahem, what happened back then is Bazman Hazeh is also happening now. We're reliving Purim, we're reliving Hanukkah, we're reliving Sukkot, we're reliving Kabbalah Sotar. But there's a certain added element of that that's required at the Seder. To really chayav adam liros asatzmo, or in the Rambam, laharos, is to display oneself, right? To really transmit that in such a clear way. Because it's a night of giving over, you know, the Mesorah. It's a night of giving over our Muna. It's a night of becoming Hashem's people. From going from the 49th level of Toma to being the chosen people. So that's a big transformation. We have to make sure we do that clear and strong. Okay? Okay, let's go to the last page. Let's do two more insights. Here's just a very interesting halachic question. Okay, this is a curiosity that I thought you would enjoy. Talmud Chacham Shlita Histapik. A certain Talmud Chacham raised the following question. We'll see what Rav Chaim Kanievsky in his brief answer responds. But the question is a fascinating question. V'mi she'achol below haseba shelo kedin. However, we know that as we fulfill the mitzvahs of the night, one of the ways that we manifest our freedom is through the mitzvah of haseba, of leaning. So let's say a person ate at the Seder without haseba. You ate the matzah without haseba. You forgot to lean while you enjoyed the mitzvah of matzah. Shalom kedin, not in accordance with the halacha. You were supposed to lean and you didn't. Uva rabo muvhak. And then his Rebbe comes to his Seder. Now, what's the significance of that? So it's a very interesting halacha. He writes in the brackets, in the parentheses. Sha'az ein lahasev. The halacha is that when a Talmud is in the presence of his Rebbe, right, he's not supposed to lean out of respect. The halacha says he should not lean in that situation. Anyone ever have that situation? Anyone ever like go to Rav Nevinsol's Seder? I've had guys over the years who told me, like, you know, they were in the Tiv and they got invited to Rav Nevinsol's Seder and they asked, you know, what they're supposed to do. They asked their Rebbe from Shul, like, what are you supposed to do? I'm in the presence of one of the Gedolei Ador. Okay, so the halacha is, if you're in the presence of, you know, Rabbo Mufak, again, whoever that is exactly, in the presence of Adam Gadol, right? So there is such a halacha. One does not lean in the presence of his Rebbe at the Seder. So now, think about this. This person ate the matzah without leaning. Not in the presence of his Rebbe. Then his Rebbe comes to join his Seder, whatever that means. Imagine the scenario. So the question is, ma yaseh? What should he do? Ha'im yochal shuv lefnei Rabbo below a seba? Should he eat the matzah again and not lean because now he's in the presence of his Rebbe? And that would be correct. Eating the matzah without leaning is now appropriate. When he first ate the matzah without leaning, then what? That wasn't the halacha. He was supposed to lean then. That's a good, I mean, it's a question that makes you smile. I'm happy people are smiling. It's a question that makes you smile. Right? The first time he ate the matzah without leaning, that was shelo kedin. Now he's in the presence of his Rebbe. So what? Should he eat the matzah again and not lean again? Then he's doing the same thing again. But this time it's more justifiable. Right? So maybe he should eat the matzah again in the presence of his Rebbe without haseba. Sharei lo kiyam ha-mitzvah ki tikuno. Mitzvah lachzor v'lechol. Because the first time he didn't do the mitzvah properly, and he should go back and eat it again. The cave in the hashtu lefnei rabbo yochel shuv b'li haseba kedino hashta. So maybe now he should eat the matzah again and not lean, because now he's in the presence of his Rebbe, and that would be in fact the halacha. Odilma, or we could say that what is there to gain by him what? Eating the matzah again without leaning. He already did that. Odilma lo yitzarich lechel klal. He doesn't need to eat again. Ki masha ba'alma eino mesam lefnei rabbo. Zel mishum kvod rabbo. Why does he not lean in general? What's the root of this halacha? Why does he not lean when he's in the presence of his Rebbe out of kavod for his Rebbe? The havele ka'onus. So what? But the halacha is supposed to lean when you eat the matzah. Okay. But out of respect for his Rebbe, it becomes an impossibility, right? It's like an ones. It's an impossibility for him to lean. She'ein yachol la'asev. So therefore, he tiru chazal lahachdis es atzmo lezeh ha'ones v'lo hitrichu lecho achar kach shuv. So let's say he was with his Rebbe at the beginning. Let's flip the question the other way, is basically what this Talmud Chacham was asking. Let's say he was with his Rebbe, and he ate the matzah, not leaning. That was correct. So then his Rebbe leaves. So now should he eat the matzah again and leave?
Did he not lean on purpose the first time?
He didn't lean on purpose the first time. His Rebbe was there. So obviously Chazal exempted him. That someone in the presence of a Rav, right, doesn't need to do it again because he did it right the first time. Right? Ah, but now he's in a different situation. And okay, but he did it right the first time. Right? So maybe now you could argue the same thing. So he ate the matzah the first time, right, and he didn't do it properly. But now that his Rebbe is there, lo yitzarach lechol shuv. Why? Ki below haseba kvar achol. Because in terms of eating without leaning, he already did that. V'achshav hu lefnei rabo hu ka'onus. So now, right? If he wanted to fix what he did wrong the first time, he can't really fix that at this point, right? Because he can't lean now. If his Rebbe didn't show up, we would have told him eat the matzah again and lean properly. But now his Rebbe's there, so now there's nothing more for him to gain by repeating it, and therefore lo yachzor. Maybe he doesn't need to repeat. Oh, Dilma, or perhaps Neima Shiyitztarech Leseis Lachutz V'Lechol. But maybe, since his original eating was not in the presence of his Rebbe, and that was an improper eating, so maybe he should leave his Rebbe's presence, go outside, lean properly, and eat. So Rabbeinu Shlita Heishav Al Safek Zeh Kvar Nischayev V'Yochol Old Pam B'li Haseva. Chaim Kanievsky felt that even though there seems to be nothing to gain by doing it again, because he's doing the same thing he did the first time, but now that he's in the presence of his Rebbe, he should eat, and he should not lean, and that'll be a proper fulfillment given his current situation of the mitzvah of matzah, and that would be the proper thing to do. And he says, it's comparable to the Chachmei Pervance quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, so we don't know what that is, so let's take a look. I gave it to you. The Shulchan Aruch gives a very interesting, again, it's just an interesting way to think and understand how halacha works. Because sometimes, what am I gaining by eating the matzah again without leaning? I already did that. But the first time I did it and it wasn't proper, and this time it's more proper. So look at this halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Tov b'mincha shel Shabbos v'spal yudches. Shabbos afternoon, it's mincha time, and you daven what? Instead of a regular mincha, you daven a full yud ches, a full shmona esrei. V'lo hizkir shel Shabbos, and you didn't mention Shabbos at all. You just daven the regular weekday mincha by accident. And now it's after Shabbos. So what should you do? Mispalel b'motzei Shabbos shtayim. On motzei Shabbos, you should daven two shmona esreis. Why should you daven two shmona esreis? You have to daven ma'ariv. And you have to correct your mincha. But think about this correcting mincha. How are you correcting mincha? The mincha you davened on Shabbos was what? Was a regular Shmona Esrei, right? Now on Motei Shabbos, what are you going to use to correct that mincha? A regular Shmona Esrei. So is there anything to be gained by doing this? By making up that mincha? Very fascinating. Look at the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Jadal and Motei Shabbos Shtayim, Yesh Bezeh Machlokas, Tosos B'Shem Ri, Svira lay the ain't sarach lachzor b'shvil zeh. Ha'kvar hispalel yud ches. Right? Tosos quotes the opinion of Ri that to daven the same Shmona Esrei again, to daven another weekday Shmona Esrei, that doesn't do anything. Rak sheshachach shal Shabbos. What you forgot when you daven the regular Shmona Esrei on Shabbos afternoon is what you didn't mention Shabbos. Well, on Motzei Shabbos, you're still not going to mention Shabbos in your Shmona Esrei. You're not making up that missing element. What is there to gain from this tashlumen? That's the opinion of Ri, of the Ri in Tosos. However, says the Mishnah Berurah in the third line, the Chachmei Parvansa, but the sages of Parvance had a different approach. Svirale, and this is what Rav Chaim Kanevsky said in the case of this Talmud who ate matzah improperly and now is in the presence of his Rebbe and would eat it the exact same way, a second time. Svirale de mashis pal shmona esrei below Shabbos, have ki'ilu lois pal klal. Another way to look at it is what? Is that the shmona esrei that you davened on Shabbos, right? See, if you look at it as, well, I davened shmona esrei, but I forgot the Shabbos element. So what's there to gain by doing another regular shmona esrei on Motzei Shabbos? I still don't pick up the missing Shabbos element. That's how Tosfos looks at it. The Chachay Parvan say, no, the Shmona Esrei you davened on Shabbos was not a proper Shmona Esrei. It's as if what? It's as if you slept through Mincha. So what would the halacha be if you didn't daven Mincha at all on Shabbos? Then, the halacha is, there's a tashlumen. You would daven an extra Shmona Esrei on Motzei Shabbos. So the Chachay Parvan view it that way. It's as if lo ispal klal, kevin shalo osa kedin. If you didn't do it properly, it's as if you didn't do it at all. Therefore, you'd be chayev to do it again. So it's powerful to see how halacha works, right? That a person could do the same action twice, mamish the same action twice, right? And the first way it was broken, and the second way it's appropriate. Right? It's an amazing concept. It just shows that the kavana and the understanding of the halacha, right, will really dictate whether or not something is a fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem, or it's a nothing. Right? And again, when he ate the matzah the first time without leaning, we're viewing that as a nothing. And therefore, now that he's in the presence of his Rebbe, even though he's going to eat the matzah again without leaning, but that'll be a proper fulfillment of this halacha. Okay, let's end. It's getting a little late. Let's go to the final source. V'osa kadosh baruch hu b'shachet l'mala chamaves, chad garya, chad garya. Okay? Just a nice vart to end with. Says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, why does Hashem shecht l'mala chamaves? We have to think about that word, shchita. Shchita is used to make something kosher, to make something accessible. Right? When you shecht an animal, it's shechting a kosher animal, now it's permissible to be eaten. So what does shechting the malach hamaves mean? So let's bear in mind that malach hamaves, according to the Gemara in Bava Basra, is synonymous with the Satan, is synonymous with the Yetzihara. Maybe some of you have learned the Gemara at the end of Sukkah, that says that at the end of days, Hashem is going to take the Yetzirah and what? And shecht him. Also, he's a lashon of shechita. What exactly is the shechita that we're doing with the Malach HaMavis? So Rav Chaim explains, if they ma naktu b'lashon shechita, v'lo harag HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'malach HaMavis. V'heishav Rabbeinu Rav Chaim Kanievsky explained, kevan shalashon shechita hu chashiv yoyser mehariga. Shechita is a more refined language, it's a more elevated way of doing something than hariga, than killing. Sharei al shchitas behema mevarchim, tal stam hariga in mevarchim. If you shecht an animal, there's a bracha you make. If you kill, there's no bracha for killing. And therefore, it chose a lashon of shchita, which is more chashuv. What does that mean? What's he saying? Shchita is not you can make a bracha. Shchita is a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? Essentially, what he's saying is that realize that getting rid of the Yetzer Hara is not just, okay, so good, so now I don't have this trouble in my life. There's a real mitzvah. The same way there's a mitzvah to defeat a malik and to eradicate a malik, when you fight your Yetzer Hara, sometimes we feel like, okay, if I didn't do an Aveira, so fine, so I didn't do something bad. But fighting the Yetzer Hara, you have to see it as what? As shechting, as performing a mitzvah. You make a bracha on shechita. There's a mitzvah to shecht. Right? He writes here in parentheses, "Vegam sheshchitaso hi tutikun ha'olam b'silik yitzharah me'ha'olam lasilavo." The shechting of the Malach Vavis, the shechting of the yitzharah, is a tikun. The same way shchita is metakin, it makes the animal kosher and edible. Okay, u'mashe be'emes naktu alav lashon chashuv. And again, why does the yitzharah deserve? Let's ask it the other way now. So fine. So for the benefit of the world, we understand why it's a shchita. But why does the yitzharah, who's such a treif animal? The Yitzhar is such an animal. Doesn't deserve Shechita. Shechita is holy. Shechita is elevating. Why does the Yitzhar Hara, why does the Satan, why does the Malach HaMaves deserve, from his perspective, to be Zoicha to a Shechita? And the answer is, U'masha be'emes naktu alav lashon chashiv, yitakein mishum shekiyim es shlichuso shakadosh baruch hu yeyed lo. Because even the Yitzhar Hara, we have to acknowledge, and we highlight this, maybe this is a beautiful way to understand the end of the Seder. We highlight that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, in a sense, elevating the Malach HaMaves, thanking him, he's removing him, because he has to be removed, but he's removing him in a way of elevation, because he did his job. He did his job in a loyal way. And it's a good message, because one of the questions that, again, that permeates the whole night of Pesach, right, is that, you know, what happened that the Mitzrim deserved to be punished? After all, they were just doing their job. You've heard this question before. Why should the Mitzrim be punished? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu that his descendants are going to suffer in a strange land. So Mitzrayim said, we want to be Mekayim that Mitzvah. We want to sign up to what? We want to sign up to afflict Avram's children. So the two classic answers are either that they afflicted us too much, right? We were supposed to be in exile, we weren't supposed to be abused the way we were abused. So that's why they ruined the mitzvah. They didn't do the shlichus properly. Or the other way to say it, as some Rishonim explained, that Hashem never asked Mitzrayim to be the one to do that mitzvah. They were never given that shlichus. They chose it for themselves. Oh yeah, we'll happily sign up to abuse the Jewish people. That's not so lishma. Right? But the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, the Malach HaMaves, who, as we learned last year in the Kashrus or Magnum, the Avodas Yisrael, is a Malach of Hashem, who's doing his job. Which means that every time you fight your Yetzer Hara, right? The Yetzer Hara is really on your team, as we learned last year. The Yetzer Hara is doing his job, and he's doing it properly. So because of that, he deserves what? He deserves to be recognized at the end of the night. And again, perhaps that highlights the difference, again, my own suggestion, but perhaps it highlights the difference between the Mitzrim, who claimed that they were doing the Shlichus of Hashem, but didn't do it properly, right? And us, who and the Malach HaMaves and the Yetzer Hara, who's doing his shlichus and doing it properly. And that brings us full circle, like we started with. When I keep Pesach, right, do I refrain from what? From eating chametz because it's the Ratzon Hashem? How do I show that? Like the Vilna Gaon said, right after Pesach, I eat chametz. I'm doing this because Hashem said so. So for all the warm and fuzzy feelings, you know, a person hopefully has over Pesach, you enjoy it so much, make sure you make it about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Make sure it's a fulfillment of a mitzvah, of a shlichus. And do it l'shem Shemai. Yes, Yikusil. Right, right. That's like Amar and Avodah Zarah. The nations are going to claim, "Oh yeah, everything we did it all for the Jewish people. It was all we were. Hashem, we were your partners all along." Right. Correct. 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 Yeah, Dovi.
That's
a good question, right? Would you make another bracha on that achila, that second achila, or do we say that?
Even if it's saying that you need a
Right, he's taking the approach essentially that you didn't do it at all. The way you did it was so... Right, I mean, that's part of the question in general when it comes to Haseba. Is Haseba a separate mitzvah, like added on to, or no, is Haseba part of the Achilas Matzah? And therefore, if you lack the Haseba, it's as if you didn't eat the matzah. So it sounds like he's taking more of that second approach. Again, I don't want to say for sure, but it sounds like he would, based on what Rav Chaim's saying, it sounds like maybe you would make another bracha. I don't know, right. Maybe he would say, eat it again, misafik, and don't make the bracha, just in case it was, you know, in case we passing like the other approach. I don't know. It's a good question. Yes, Menachem Ephraim.
Just another comment. I'll
give you the final word.
Another comment on the Yetzer Hara part when the guest checked it. Maybe it's another way of like elevating it because like we're only got where we are because of it. Like it pushed us. It got us to like improve ourselves in that way. So it's kind of like our,
right.
Like our motivation.
Right, our coach, our trainer. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we should be zeichet to shech the Yetzer Hara once and for all. Gula Shlema.